Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say!
Welcome back to a post-holidays edition of the Internet's Most Dangerous Tottenham Hotspur Podcast. It's Wheeler Dealer Radio. I'm your host, Greg, and we have the whole gang back together to talk about a whole lot of games that we probably only sort of remember, which we think is going to make for a delightful listening experience for our entire studio audience, because we're recording this in front of people. That's not right. You know what? I'm just going to move on. Leading us off, we have coming to us from Atlanta and still probably hungover. It is my sidekick, Ben Daniels. Ben, how's it going?
Horrible. My wife and I decided we're going to do dry January. So after binge drinking for the past like 2 weeks over the holidays to get through family time and house guests and just general merriment, now I have to not drink for a whole month. And yeah, we have a lot of Spurs matches coming up, so that's going to suck.
How long do you think that's going to last?
What time is the Chelsea game?
I think it's around 3.
Yeah, so, all right, let's give it till 3:45.
Yeah, sure, why not? Give yourself a little bit of a buffer zone.
Yeah, I mean, I'll wait till halftime.
You're not an alcoholic or anything.
No.
Next up, we have coming to us from the sunny streets of Miami, or one of those other cities in Florida. It's Brian Ashlock. Brian, how was your holiday season?
It was great. I went to New York where it was cold, and then I came back to Florida where it is not, and I still don't understand why you people live there.
I mean, well, you can just get cocaine up here, and you can't do that in Florida. That's why we live up here.
I think you've got it backwards. Oh, but yeah, no, the weather's great here, and you could all choose to live here, but you don't because you're dumb.
Yes, the people who do not live in Florida are the dumb ones.
Hey, man, no state income tax. I mean,
yes, but I might also get killed by a guy named Ched who has his mother tattooed across his chest, which I will see when he kills me because he won't be wearing a shirt.
There's pros and cons to everywhere, but the pros significantly outweigh the cons here.
I'll take your word for it. Finally, we have noted internet terrors of Reno Wallabout. Rob, how was your holiday season?
I've become that fat Harry Kane photo.
You got fat, is what you're telling us.
Well,
How could that have happened? Just copious amounts of high life?
Yes.
And tater tots?
Eating, and then eating some more. Somehow wound up with more candy for Christmas than I collected during Halloween. So,
who'd you go for Halloween my body weight this year?
I went as an optimistic Tottenham fan. Nobody believed it.
I can see that. Did you get any good presidents? Did you get any good presidents over the holidays? I'm gonna guess the answer is no.
No, nobody got a good president over the holidays.
That's
same one we've always had. That's neither here nor there.
Well, keeping our brand strong, on that depressing note, let's start talking about Tottenham's holiday fixtures. Since our last pod, Tottenham have played 5 matches, including a 2-0 win against Arsenal in the League Cup, putting us through the semifinals, which we will talk about soon, a 6-2 win over Everton, a 5-0 win over Bournemouth, a 3-1 loss against Wolves, and a 3-0 win against Cardiff. You know, there's a lot of options to talk about here. There's a lot of things that we could really focus on, but we are Wheeler Dealer Radio. So, Brian, what went wrong in the Wolves match?
Everything. It was really kind of the first match in the festive period where Spurs not playing a midfield kind of backfired on us, and where you really actually saw the fatigue in the team. You know, it really kind of made you question what Pochettino had been doing, like leaving Sissoko and Winks out there so late in the game against Bournemouth in a match that was already won. And, you know, we just got overrun in midfield. You know, one thing we've learned about Wolves so far this season is They're very tactically disciplined. They don't concede a lot of goals. I think they have the best defense outside the top five in the Premier League. And that's what they did. They stayed compact. They won the battles in midfield. They were, you know, their midfield was better than Winks and Sissoko. And it eventually started creating chances for them. And that's pretty much the story of the game.
Ben, when you look at this game, I mean, do you see it as more of a failing of tactics, or do you see it as more a failing of fatigue, or are they inextricably linked here?
I think, you know, there's definitely a bit of both. You know, the fatigue, I think, was obvious. We looked very gassed. I mean, guys like Christian Eriksen, who are normally pretty sharp and reliable, was misplacing passes all over the field. Dele Alli did not look like his usual self. Winks and Sissoko, who have been holding our midfield together desperately, were not at even the okay level they'd been at before. And yeah, it all just kind of fell apart. But I think tactically, I think Wolves set up smartly. After the last three matches where we were playing a very open kind of run and gun style, that prompted Joel to write some article about our air raid offense. We hung 11 goals in the previous two matches against Everton and Bournemouth. And Wolves, you know, did their homework and set up very deeply and did not give us space to counter in. They played to frustrate us. And, you know, without any real, like, lock-picking creative types in midfield, and Eriksen having such an off day, we didn't really have an answer to that because we couldn't play, you know, that quick long ball style that we had developed to compensate for our midfield. And we just didn't really seem to have any plan B or any other way of figuring out how to get past Wolves. You know, we were taking a lot of pot shots early. We scored the first goal, and I kind of thought, well, you know, that should be enough. And then it somehow wasn't.
I mean, I would say we were playing all right early. I don't know if it was the sharpest display we've ever seen, and Harry obviously scored a banger, but Son almost scored right after that. I mean, I wouldn't say it was our most dominant display, but this is the first time our lack of midfield, has really been sort of taken advantage of, I guess, since the league match against Arsenal. I mean, do you think if we'd been had another day or two, or if we were on the Liverpool rest schedule for the holiday break, holiday fixtures, do you think this game might have played out differently?
It definitely would have helped. But, I mean, I think there was definitely a notable moment in the second half when, you know, they brought on Moutinho and added that extra passing body in midfield. And we just had no answer for that. We got completely overrun. And, you know, maybe a little less tired midfield would have handled that better. But, you know, the lack of bodies was certainly worrisome. But, you know, we got back to winning ways a few days later with no rest or rotation. So I don't think we should read too much into it. I mean, we whipped the shit out of Cardiff pretty comfortably.
I mean, I think you look at the holiday period as a whole, the only points we've dropped, I mean, I don't know if it's done by now, but the only points we dropped across all those fixtures was against Wolves. We comfortably beat everybody else aside from like a early scare against Everton. I mean, Rob, when you sort of look at the totality of the holiday period, what's your big takeaway?
Well, given who had to play almost all of those minutes, I think you can put aside the Wolves result and be pretty happy with it overall. It's unfortunate because this is the time of year where we usually just roll over everybody. But we've usually got at least most of our first team available for that. So,
yeah. But didn't we roll over everybody aside from the Wolves game? I mean,
yeah, we mostly did. Most teams would be thrilled to get through their festive fixtures with one loss and no other drop points. For us, this is usually when we really turn it on. So, I mean, I think in past years we have swept through all of our festive fixtures, and this time we didn't. But considering personnel and all of the injury issues and everything going on, yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. Like, watching that Wolves game was fucking miserable, but other than that, it was pretty fun.
But what's like, the reason for, I mean, I think in your voice, I think we're hearing some discontent, but like you look at Spurs right now, we're on 48 points. We're recording this after the Liverpool City game, just for context for our listeners. We're on 48 points through, you know, the beginning of the holiday period. You know, we're playing pretty comfortably. We're playing pretty good football. I think qualifying for the Champions League is looking like a sure and sure possibility every day. Why are some Spurs fans like sort of grouchy about a holiday period where we only dropped one game? We only dropped points in one game.
Because they're all miserable humans.
Well, I mean, yes, also that. But like contextually speaking, like what is the frustration among Spurs fans about this? Honestly, I think most years we'd feel pretty good about this.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it is, again, like this is usually when we're really good. So there are certain expectations. Some people on TV said some things about racing and titles and I don't know. Got people all worked up. And, you know, it's January transfer window time when everybody airs their grievances about how we never sign anybody and how, look, we have huge holes at certain positions. Wouldn't it be great if we could, like, fix them with new players? And we probably won't. But, yeah, it's kind of silly to be that upset. I saw something today that said, like no other team has had this many points at this point in the season and not been in first place or something crazy like that. Like a couple of years ago, Arsenal was in first place with 43 points, and we have what, 48? So yeah, in any other season we would be up near the top, and it's kind of crazy.
Well, we are near the top. I mean, Tottenham right now, as we speak, are 6 points behind Liverpool, and 1 point behind City. And, you know, that's not 2 points. I'm sorry. Thank you, Ben.
But the thing is if we had won, we'd be 3 points behind Liverpool. We'd be in second place, and that would be better. So, you know, better would be better.
We gotta make lemonade with these lemons.
But this is, I think this is an interesting fixture period to look at, because I think Ben makes a good point earlier when he's talking about the Wolves game. And I know we're harping on the negative, and I joked about it being on a brand, but I think that's really sort of a good center point of this discussion, because Spurs have squeaked by some results this year. We have gotten lucky about how some of our games have gone, and we are fortunate, I would say, to have as many points as we do, and because we've probably won some games we deserve to draw or maybe have lost, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, Wolves game aside, which I think you could, if you wanted to make an argument, we were a little unlucky not to draw that game, but you look at all the games surrounding that, we comfortably won. Hell, we comfortably beat Arsenal. That game wasn't even all that close. I mean, Spurs played well in every other game on this list. The only game I would take any, like, you know, any, was abnormal in any way, it was the Cardiff game. And that wasn't like we were bad. It was just sort of a dumb, lazy game where we never had to get out of first gear because we scored a bunch of stupid goals really quickly. But, I mean, this isn't, like, Spurs still seem to have hit another gear here, right, Brian? I mean, it doesn't seem like we're just farting out results like we were in times in, like, October or whatever. I mean, the Wolves game, we've talked about that game, and it might have just been a product of some bad circumstances between the opponent we were playing and the fatigue that we were facing. But Spurs do seem to have hit that gear that Rob was talking about in previous years. It's just Liverpool's been outpacing us for most of the season.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that this is another gear per se, because I think some of the underlying stats showed that even though we were scoring 6 goals against Everton and 5 goals against Bournemouth, we were not we weren't getting like good shots and good chances.
But these weren't
bullshit
wins. These were comfortable.
No, they were good wins, but I mean like Rob said, this is kind of the period of the year where we tend to kick it in or where we tend to get up to speed or where our squad depth has allowed us to be good in the past. I think this is kind of like the level that we've been at all season. We've been good, we haven't drawn games, and you know, we've put away teams that are worse than us. And you know, the Wolves match is the only exception, or you know, is the exception during this holiday period. I don't think that anything we saw was indicative of like another level. Like, oh, this is Spurs. Like,
no, but
they've clearly gone up a gear, and we are now clicking on all cylinders or whatever. Like, this is the level we've played at, and like this was a good level to have played at, given the limitations that we had in place with the midfield and injuries and all that sort of stuff.
You don't think we've been playing better since the November international break, where if nothing else, our front. Like desk, the front four is really.
I mean, I think our attack has looked better, but I don't think that this is a level that we couldn't expect from this team. I think this is perfectly. I would just say
it's better than earlier in the season. I guess I'm not saying that we shouldn't like. Oh wow, where'd this come from? It's just compared to what we were doing earlier in the year. This seems a lot more assured to me.
Okay,
it looks different.
Well, certainly we've mixed it up, and we're playing this sort of air raid, we're bypass offense where we bypass the midfield. But
yeah, because our front players are really, really, really good, and Pochettino is some sort of warlock, not a Sean Dyche brand warlock, but something along those lines, and has somehow duct taped together the midfield and just come up with this just play the ball direct to our incredible front line and let them. Score a bunch of shitty goals, and you know we're it looks different in the sense that we're not controlling games and grinding teams out anymore. We're running and gunning and trying to outscore people, and it's working. But the Wolves game demonstrates that there are limits to it, especially if you're playing Moussa Sissoko and Harry Winks in midfield 180 minutes a week.
Yeah, I know we had a tough time with Wolves the first time around, too, so that would indicate there's some flaws in this team. There's certainly some flaws in this team. It's just...
And Wolves are good.
The way we've been playing around that game makes me think that game is more of an anomaly than anything else.
Also, the thing about Wolves is they drew against Arsenal, they drew against City, they drew against Man U, they beat Chelsea, like... They have played the top teams very well this season.
They're good.
I mean,
they're a bad matchup for top teams.
Yeah, they know how to handle themselves against a team like us.
And a terrible matchup for us with no midfield.
Right.
Because they have a good midfield.
I'm just really excited that Nuno is doing well in his audition to be Tottenham Hotspur manager.
I don't think he's going to leave the Mendes Paola train anytime soon. But, you know.
He's probably not allowed to.
Yeah. I'm sure he has his kids held hostage somewhere. And
so, looking at the holiday period as sort of the Christmas fixture list as a whole, is there any player, Ben, I'll start with you because we watched that Everton game together. Is there any player that stood out to you across the period? Because there's one that stood out to me. But I'm curious what you think.
I guess there's two people that I would point out. One is Heung-min Son, who had a phenomenal stretch. I mean, I think he's on 8 goals in 8 games right now or something like that. He's scoring for fun. He looks super sharp. He's been great.
Good thing we're about to lose him for a month.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, it wouldn't be Spurs if we didn't have a key component of the side going down every so often, so Pochettino has to figure out how to make it work all over again.
I think the most Spurs thing about this is we are losing a player to a tournament in January, and that player is not, and somehow that player is not African. So, you know, finding a way to make that happen is pretty impressive, honestly.
Well, they moved the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah, I know. So that's what makes it really impressive.
Anyway. The other player that I would highlight is Danny Rose, who played a lot more this period than I was expecting.
Played a lot better than I think a lot of us were expecting, too.
And, yeah, and looked really sharp. And, you know, I don't expect anyone to stay fit at this point, so, you know, I don't know what I can hope for the future, but if he does miraculously stay fit, I will be excited to have him back in the team because he looked good again.
He did. I thought he looked very good. Again, obviously, we're not talking about world-beating opponents here, but it was impressive. Just real quick, Ben, gun to your head right now, you think Rose is on this team next year?
Yes, if only because I don't know that there's much of a market for him.
I agree with that, especially because Pochettino won't want to buy him at United. So, right. I think that's definitely true. Brian, who was your standout player? Like, who really did anyone jump out to you over the holiday fixture list?
Well, I have one that stood out, but I don't want to steal Rob's thunder.
Would you defer to Rob before you go?
No, I guess I can talk about Kyle Walker-Peters. he played, and he was fine, and then there were a bunch of people on Twitter talking about how he has more assists than Ozil, which
is very true and also funny.
I don't know if it's that funny, but
it's pretty funny.
I don't know. It just feels like one of those like small club mentality things that we always get.
That's funny.
But yeah, so he was good. He ended up having to play the Everton match, and he was very good. He had 3 assists on the first 3 goals, and then I think he disappeared after that and was not seen again.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's just weird how we're handling him. I mean, he's at the point where he's 22 now, I believe, maybe 21, and he's still not getting regular minutes. And, you know, I understand that we have 2 other senior right backs. One of them is Kieran Trippier, though, so there should be minutes to be had for Walker-Peters, and especially during this period, he probably should have played a little more than 1 match, and then also the Champions League match against Barcelona. So,
yeah. I mean, we'll see him tomorrow against Chelsea or against Tranmere.
I mean, Who knows?
I think is that he doesn't get enough of a run out. Where I mean, you know, I feel like the answer is Kyle Walker-Peters good? I don't think anyone can give you a straight answer because we don't see him enough, and when we do see him, it's usually against Tranmere Rovers or someone where it's like I don't know if he's any good or not. Or
all
Everton.
I know is he's played 3 Premier League matches and won Man of the Match 3 times, and you know I.
Can't argue with statistics like that, Ben.
Nope.
Yeah, but he was good, and he was very good in the Everton match, and, you know, it was nice to see him play, but, I mean, I'd like to see him play more to know if he's actually good or if he's just, like, you know, a decent backup or anything. I'd almost rather we loaned him out this January just to someone that would play him for, you know, the last 18, 20 matches of the season and just see if he can hang at the Premier League level.
I mean, I think we'd all like to see more of him, if only to understand what we've got on our hands. Rob, who was your standout over the holiday period?
Well, I was going to say Christian Eriksen, but I guess I have to say Moussa Sissoko because, you know, Brian teed me up for that one.
Well, you are the proprietor of the Moussa Sissoko news desk.
But no, you could definitely say Moussa Sissoko because without Moussa Sissoko, Tottenham's midfield would have been in a lot of trouble. I mean, we would have seen a lot of Oliver Skip, I guess.
Moussa Sissoko good?
Yes.
Is,
I mean, for one
I think
thing,
the real
he never
answer
gets
is
tired.
Have we found a use for him?
Yes. Pochettino has found a use for him, and among other things, they had to play a lot of games, and he never gets tired. But that's helpful. There are certain things that he's really good at. I sound like a broken record with this. Certain things that he's terrible at, and if you can just, you know, not listen to the TV commentators and ask him to shoot, he's very useful and kind of saved our asses a few times. And I'm going back to the Barcelona game, he saved Kyle Walker-Peters' his ass, basically hiding him after his initial disaster at right back. So yes, Moussa Sissoko is good, and Moussa Sissoko stood out, carrying Harry Winks on his back, getting us through the festive fixtures.
Would you like to add anything about Christian Eriksen since we're here? Before he leaves us this summer?
He's never leaving us. Come on.
Are you gonna break his leg or something?
The goal against Cardiff was so ridiculous that that stands out to me.
Massive beyond, levels of disrespect on that goal.
Oh my
just
god, it was
so much sass.
I just can't even imagine having the thought process, let alone the skill to pull that off.
He touches the ball twice before the defender registers one of those touches. He's already shooting.
It reminded me of the video of Christian Eriksen nutmegging the small child and making him cry. It was just like that level of disrespect.
Yeah, except there were somehow three adults involved.
I love
how
somehow
nobody goes to close him down after his first touch kind of gets stuck under his feet. And like Bamba's just standing, I think it's Saul Bamba, is just standing there like, I don't know, was like 6 yards away from him and just like, all right, now what? And he's just like, all right, let me show you what.
But why don't you stay there, screen the keeper, and I'll take care of it from here. It's
so absurd.
It was really super absurd. Yeah, Eriksen's great, and we're going to sadly talk a little bit more about that in a bit. Looking forward, I want to look forward to the rest of the year because we have a couple priorities coming up. We have the league, we have the FA Cup, we have the League Cup, and then in the distant future we have the Champions League, but we're going to table that one for now. So let's start with the league. A lot of irresponsible announcers and ne'er-do-wells have said Tottenham had a title challenge on their hand. Then we went and lost to Wolves. But Ben, as the most negative person on this podcast, which is really saying something, and I'm sorry, Rob.
I'm the most negative person on this
podcast?
Yeah, so are you for real? Okay.
Ben, do you think Tottenham have a title challenge on their hands?
And who do you think is actually the most negative person on the podcast?
Fucking Eeyore Rob is the most negative person on the podcast.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah, I know you won't. What was the question again?
Yeah, so do we have a title challenge on our hands?
Oh, Lord, no. I mean, look, if, like, Salah and Van Dijk, like, you know, rupture their ACLs
and
tackling
Allison
each other, you know, I think barring some major catastrophic luck to Liverpool and then also some catastrophic bad luck to Man City, title challenge is a pipe dream. But that's, like, I'm okay with that. I don't know. I don't feel like that's negative. I mean, it was nice to like believe that it was possible when
for one
day Fernandinho was out and Man City looked like they were imploding, and we were within striking distance of Liverpool. Like, yeah, I dared to dream, but I mean, the reality is after signing nobody all summer, and I have no expectations of being in a title race, especially with these two teams playing as good as they are. You know, if it happens, I'll be excited as hell for the ride, but I will not discount the success of our season because we only finished third. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, we might finish third on, like, what, 85 points? What do you do about that? And like Ben said, these two teams that are in front of us, they've made smart signings in all of the last few transfer
windows.
Yeah, well, I mean, but, you know, they've also been, you know, good with their business. You know, some of the players that, Van Dijk and Alisson were great signings
Liverpool. I mean, yes, Liverpool have been very smart, but I think we overstate that a little bit sometimes. Not that their signings aren't smart, but they have had, between FSG and selling Coutinho for $80 gajillion, they've had a lot of money to play with, and I'm not so sure that, I mean, I don't think we have conducted our transfer business very astutely, but if we'd had £100 million to play with, I think we would have done a better job than we did.
Well, we'll find out this summer when we sell Eriksen and Alderweireld. But
For £70 million combined, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay.
But, these City and Liverpool are on just, like, such historic paces. And even with City closing the gap to Liverpool, I think Liverpool are still, like, better than 50-50 to win the title.
But this is where I think
a title race. Like, it was cool when we were in second place and we were, whatever it was, 4 or 5 points back. And, like, you know, even now where we're, what, 6?
Yeah.
We're not in it. It's a two-horse race.
But
and
this is what I think Ben was saying is interesting to consider. Now, I mean, City is being run by Guardiola, who I think has a track record with these sort of teams that I'm sort of more willing to believe they could sustain it. And Liverpool has played like they're one of the best teams in the Premier League this year. They were excellent last year, even though they finished behind us. But I guess it's like you said, Ben, they're on this historic pace. And, I mean, it doesn't show any sign of waning. Like, they played really great against City today. But I mean, on some level, their luck can't hold out, or at least, like, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world if they just dropped off a little bit. And I don't know, like, I don't think we're in a title race either, but it's just sort of insane that we're 6 points back at the beginning of January, and we're all just like, eh, fuck it, that ain't happening. And I understand all the contextual reasons we're having that reaction, because I'm having the same reaction, but it's just, I guess, you know, like Rob was saying about where we sit on points compared to previous champions, it's like, it's fucking insane. I mean, that we think Liverpool's just completely beyond us, which they probably are.
Yeah, I mean, again, if we were 6 points back and in second, I'd still dream of a title challenge, but, you know, needing two teams to slip up, both of whom are very good, you know, I don't see it. I mean, we didn't capitalize on Man City slipping up, so why would I think we're going to capitalize if they both slip up again in the future, you know?
And the other important thing is, especially with Liverpool, our match against Liverpool is at Anfield. And I think we have to go to Manchester City as well.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, if you're talking about, like, there's our big chance to make up points against those two teams, our record on the road against the top six is not particularly good, and our record against those two teams at their home stadiums is not particularly good either. You know, last season's Liverpool game notwithstanding.
And yet we almost at least got points out of those matches. We were kind of unlucky, actually, honestly, to not get points out of both of those matches this year.
I just don't see us getting points in those games now that would even allow us to get within, you know, kind of like touching distance of those top two teams.
It's crazy, and I know it's like still fresh that we dropped those points that sort of made us all realize where this title race thing probably is. But, like, Tottenham are probably going to qualify for the Champions League this year, you know? Like, our rival, like, City or United is dropping points, Arsenal's dropping points, Chelsea's dropping points. I mean, it's looking more and more like we're going to finish somewhere in the top four. And it's wild that that's on any level, a disappointing year for us. And I don't know, maybe that plays into why certain managers of our team are making certain decisions later this year. But we'll talk about that in a bit. Let's move on from our semi-title challenge to the League Cup. We play Chelsea on Tuesday in a semi-final, a two-legged semi-final, which I don't know how. I feel like we've been in the League Cup semis recently. I forgot that it was a home and away. I feel like that's really stupid. Rob, how are you feeling about the League Cup? Are you excited at the prospect of winning the League Cup? Does that stir your loins?
Yes, we're playing Chelsea, so, you know, we got to get up for those games. I'm sad. I'm not really sad. I'm sad that I'm going to be at work, at least during the first leg. So I won't get to see us spread our wings against Chelsea. Although it will be very interesting to see what the teams are, considering
how confident
they have an injury crisis too.
I mean, Spurs should rest the shit out of their team tomorrow against Tranmere, which we'll talk about in a minute. But
have you met our current and former manager?
I think if there's any situation where Pochettino rests guys, we're in it. I mean, do you feel confident about where we are versus where Chelsea is? I mean, obviously we whipped the shit out of. I mean, we really whipped the shit out of them last time we played them. And Chelsea have not really. I mean, their form has really suffered since that match.
Thankfully, I think for us, they're having their own problems with injuries and guys being tired and out of form, which is good because in our current situation, playing a fuller strength Chelsea team would probably be kind of scary. So I don't think we're likely to put in the same kind of performance that we did the first time when we whipped the shit out of them. But depending on what kind of lineup they roll out, I'm not unconfident. I think we have a shot, especially over two legs, and it should be pretty exciting. And we always get up for it, so at least we know there'll be lots of violence.
Ben,
you guys are discounting the energy that signing Christian Pulisic is going to bring to the team, even if he won't be there. Just knowing that they're going to have, you know, the American Messi coming in the summer.
You know, I gotta say, let's comment on that for a second, because we are all Americans here.
Must we?
No, like, I feel like if, like, purely from a Jesus Christ, I don't want to listen to them perspective, I think Chelsea has, like, the least annoying American fan base, at least in terms of, like, they're certainly not as obnoxious in my experience as Liverpool, Arsenal, or even Spurs fans. Maybe not as obnoxious as, or maybe less, maybe they're more obnoxious than City fans, but, like, I don't know, like, American Chelsea fans are just, they're kind of like Yankee fans. You're sort of used to it, and they don't get too annoying about it until they beat you. I don't know. I'm a Pulisic skeptic now. He has not had a good year.
But... Well, what's funny about it is because it's Chelsea, all of the other fan bases can kind of collectively roll their eyes at it in a way that you don't get necessarily with other teams.
I'm just glad he's not at Liverpool.
Be glad he's not at Liverpool. And yeah, like, it might be a good move for him and whatever. It might help the men's national team or whatever, but it's fucking Chelsea. It's disgusting.
I mean, yes, but Ben, how are you feeling? We're in the semifinals of a League Cup. In theory, that's a trophy. I sort of waffle back and forth on how excited I get about this. Like, there are times where I'm like, I don't fucking care. I'd rather win other things. But, you know, as we sort of hover around a final, you know, that is like, it is enticing, the fact that we're going to have, you know, that we could have, like, you know, an open top bus parade, the fact that we could parade around a trophy, even if it is a League Cup. And on top of that, if we win the League Cup, we're probably going to have gone through Arsenal, Chelsea, and City. So it's not like, you know, we're pulling an Arsenal and beating, like, Birmingham or whatever, or not beating Birmingham to win a cup. But, you know, I mean, how do you feel? Does this still, you went through a League Cup win? I mean, does this excite you still?
I mean, I feel like I say this every time we record, but yes, I would be very excited to win a cup. I mean,
well, I'm talking specifically about this cup. I'm talking specifically about the League Cup.
Yes, that's the cup we're talking about. I understand. I understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, but
I want
to talk about this in theory. I want to talk about this competition right now in particular.
Yes, like, this competition right now, like this competition every year for the past 10 years I've been following Spurs not win a trophy, I would be excited to see Spurs win the League Cup.
And yes, fly forever, I think, man.
I mean, look, like the last time we won the League Cup, it's like we had to get through Arsenal in the semifinals and Chelsea in the finals. You know, most of the time, good teams end up, at the tail end of these competitions because they're the best teams, so the deepest squads. So, you know, yeah, I don't think it's going to be. I'm not going to care more because we beat Arsenal and Chelsea and Man City to lift the trophy. If we beat Swansea in the final and you know, had to fucking watch Tom Carroll crying in the center circle, I would still enjoy this just as much.
Maybe we'll get lucky and Burton will be City or whoever they're playing, some other championship team.
Yeah, that will be fine. Like, let's play Burton Hove Albion in the... Is that what they're called?
I think they're Burton Albion. I don't think
there's Burton Albion. There's no Hove. Yeah. Only Brighton has a Hove in their Albion.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. And there's a Bromwich in some Albions, but, you know, not all.
What is an Albion?
What is a Hove?
Albion is... never mind. Let's move on.
And you just lost our three British listeners.
Hove is a rapper from New York, Ben. And
they're all obviously like, oh, but a Hove is just a thing that you use in a garden. And
Albion is the oldest known name of the island of Great Britain.
Yes.
You learn something new every day.
Is it? Thanks, England. Really?
Yes, Jesus Christ.
Oh, you knew
I
this?
I bet they're English.
Yes, I knew it was an old name for England. I didn't know it was the oldest, but anyway.
Yeah, well, you were suspicious.
You're like,
silent.
Buster, you're captain of fucking genre literature over there. I can't believe you didn't know that.
Jesus.
So England's a real place, Greg. I don't know how
to
tell you.
Okay, yeah, that's what I meant. All right. If it's a real place, then why is there a two-part Harry Potter play on Broadway, huh? Explain that, smart guy. All right.
I don't know.
So we tomorrow on Friday we play Tranmere Rovers, which really sounds like a name that Scottish people have for car enthusiasts, but apparently it's a team. So we play Tranmere Rovers. I don't know if there's a whole lot to say.
Wow,
about this.
You don't know about Tranmere? You
no,
don't know what Tranmere
no, I don't.
Is? Holy
don't.
Shit!
Why don't you
Greg.
Tell me, Ben? Why don't you tell me what a Tranmere is?
Well, Tranmere is a suburb of Birkenhead on the Wirral Peninsula, in England. Wow, administratively, it is also a ward of the Metropolitan Borough of Wirral. So, I mean,
it's near Liverpool, isn't it?
Get your shit together. Yeah, it's in Merseyside.
On Merseyside, Ben, please. Is there any is there anything interesting in this game? I guess it's we're going to rotate the hell out of it, so we're going to see a big dose of Oliver Skip and Kyle Walker-Peters. I mean, but is there any other thing to really stir your interest in this other than Spurs should comfortably beat a lower league side? Brian?
I mean, no, not really. I mean, I'm sure we'll get our annual George Kevin and Kudu cameo.
We might, actually, unless we're like close to selling him, I guess.
I mean, but play him anyway. Who gives a shit? Like, he was on the bench for Wolves for some weird reason. So he'll play. Walker-Peters will play. Skip will play. I'm sure Llorente will play, or Jansen, or what? I mean, I don't know.
Vincent Jansen? I don't think Vincent Janssen's going to play in this game.
Vincent Jansen doesn't have a number.
I mean, so you can give him a number. He doesn't need that. I mean, he is in Spurs' locker room to be able to play in the FA Cup.
He was in Spurs' locker room during one of their Uno games, so, you know, I mean, he's around.
So, I mean, I'm not really excited about this. I don't care. Just so long, I will only care if we somehow fuck it up and lose. Like, that's the only way you care about, you know. The FA Cup third round is interesting only insofar as there are occasionally upsets, and I am only interested in that they not happen to Tottenham. If we go out there and win, 1-0 and it's ugly, I don't really care. Just as long as Harry Kane and Christian Eriksen and Dele Alli and whoever, I mean, we can play Son, I guess, because he's leaving, so who cares? But just as long as all the good players don't have to play.
Just so long as they don't have to play. Well, I mean, we do want everybody ready for, Chelsea on Tuesday, which is not very far away. So,
I mean, the thing is we just don't have 11 other players to throw out there. I mean, at some point, Foyth will probably play, and then one of Davinson or Alderweireld has to play. You probably have to see either Ben Davis or Danny Rose. You have to see either Trippier or Walker-Peters. At a certain point, some of our name players have to play, but just because we don't have depth, so just not Eriksen and Kane and those guys. That's all I ask.
All right, so those are the fixtures coming up, but we are now officially in the transfer window, so I want to talk to you guys about that. Right now, I think there's something hovering above this, because right now we have three major players that are on contract situations. We have Vertonghen and Alderweireld. In theory, they're both supposed to play for us next year. Alderweireld obviously has a release clause, so that is looming over everything. Christian Eriksen, he's got one more year left on his deal as well. It's been in the news that we're doing some sort of contract negotiations with all those guys. Alderweireld and Eriksen seem to be the ones most at danger of leaving. Vertonghen, I think everybody sort of assumes is going to stick around.
Dembele.
And Dembele, well, Dembele's gone one way or another, but he's being linked to a move to China now, which I find a little perplexing, but whatever. I guess the thing that's sort of looming over all of this is Pochettino and the fact that he might leave Tottenham Hotspur. We talked a little bit about this last time, but I don't think we really discussed how it was going to affect our transfer dealings. Because at the same time, we're trying to sign a midfielders from, or at least we're being linked to midfielders from AC Milan, Ajax, not De Jong, but other guys at Ajax. We're being linked with other players. How much do you think Pochettino is going to affect our transfer dealings? Until it is known one way or another whether he's staying or leaving. I mean, Ben, I'll start with you. Do you think it's going to this situation with Pochettino is going to make it harder to bring in the reinforcements that we could get in this transfer window?
I don't think so. I mean, no. I can't see players
even like this cult level status you're seeing amongst players where it's like, oh, I love playing for Pochettino, oh, he makes players better. You don't think someone's gonna make me stay frosty till the summer and whether or not they know Pochettino is gonna be around?
I don't think that the concern that he's leaving is necessarily that real. I mean, I think if Pochettino's calling you saying, I want you to play for my team, you're gonna believe that he's gonna be there.
Also, this question presupposes that we're gonna sign anyone anyway.
Right, that's the real question.
True.
You know. But no, I don't think the uncertainty over Pochettino's future is going to be a barrier to signing players. I think, you know, not wanting to spend money on players is really the much bigger hurdle.
Do you think that plays any role in retention of Eriksen and all them, or do you think that's just about money?
I think in the summer, if Pochettino leaves, I think Eriksen is definitely gone. You know, and a lot of guys will be following him out the door, but you know, I think we could just as easily sell a guy like Christian Eriksen anyway. I mean, but yes, I mean, a lot of this team is here because Pochettino is a great coach who has built a great team, and, you know, there's a belief that we can do more with this team. You know, without Pochettino, a lot of the reasons for staying for a lot of people who could have better offers on the table disappears.
I mean, I don't expect us to sign anyone at all, but now that we're sitting here talking about it, we could go an entire year without signing a player. And that is, I mean, it was weird enough when we were the only team that didn't sign anybody in the summer. But then to go, you know, two consecutive transfer windows without making a single signing.
I mean, doing it in the winter is certainly not as galling as doing it in the summer.
No, and it's certainly not as unusual. I mean, teams have done that before. We've done that before. But it's just like nobody in two consecutive windows. I mean, you know, we signed Lucas last year, and, you know, he didn't make much impact last season, but it was, you know, probably a good value for money that we paid for him, and he's been, you know, at various times he's been productive for us this season. And that's the kind of signing that I would like to see us make, but the problem with those is they're always so hard to spot and to get sorted out. Like, you know, like, you have to wait for somebody who's unhappy at a big club, or whose contract is running down, or, you know,
well,
I just don't know what's out there.
The two concrete players we've been linked to, there's been a lot of rumors and a lot of semi-respectable reporting, but I think the two players that we've been concretely linked with have been Jared Bowen, who is a winger from Hull. That's clearly, I think, a signing for the future, because a winger is not exactly what we need right now, although if he's decent, I'm sure Pochettino will find a way to use him eventually. Or he'll go hang out with Inji and Nkudu and, you know, Vincent Janssen on the other side of the Spurs training compound. And the other one is everyone's...
Sold Inji, for the record.
Inji, sorry. Everyone's favorite... The other person we've been linked to is everyone's favorite Parisian dilettante, which is Rabiot. He has been linked with Spurs, and apparently he thinks we are beneath him. I don't think we're getting Rabiot. Do you guys, Brian, do you have any thoughts on either of these players?
No, I mean, he probably thinks we're beneath him. I think that's probably an accurate description of what him...
I mean,
him
he would make
his...
us better instantly. Like, he's...
Oh, yeah. No, he's
a lot of our problems.
He would be great in our midfield, and he's very good, and he would start for us. But, I mean, the other club that is interested in him, though they have said that they haven't made any contact with him, is Barcelona. And we're not winning any contests with Barcelona if they do come in for him.
But it doesn't sound like Barcelona won him. It sounds like between the demands of his mother and... like the salary ones, it's just, it doesn't sound like Barcelona feel like dealing with this.
Yeah, and if Barcelona can't pay his salary, Spurs certainly can't. So, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, I just don't think, like, as good as he would be for us, there's other teams that will pay him the money that he wants, and that have apparently the prestige that he's looking for. I mean, you know, Real Madrid may need a midfielder if Luka Modric leaves. There are, you know, Bayern Munich don't have a midfield to speak of really right now because everybody's old and bad. So there's plenty of teams that could probably use him. I can't see that happening.
So there is, I spoke too soon, there is a third player that we have had some concrete links with, and that is Sander Berge. I don't know how to say his name, I apologize, I'm probably fucking up, and we'll continue to do so if we sign him, out of the Belgian League. Rob, you are in love with him, correct?
He's a boat.
He's a large object that can ferry.
He's a large man.
He can ferry, like, trunks of trees up a river.
Yes, he's tearing up the Belgian first division, for whatever that's worth.
Hey, Lukaku tore up the Belgian first division.
Looked how that worked.
Yeah. For example.
Went straight to West Brom. Yeah. I mean,
he could be good.
He's a midfielder.
He's a large human. Would
he improve Tottenham, do you think?
At the moment, he would definitely improve Tottenham. In general, I think he's, a project. But, right now, he would walk into a starting spot in our midfield. I mean, he wouldn't because it's Pochettino, so we probably wouldn't see him for 18 months. But just in terms of quality, he's probably better than Moussa Sissoko and Harry Winks. But he's also, 20? And, playing in Belgium. So we don't know a ton about how that would translate. But yeah, I'd take him, sure.
I mean, I think the thing we're all in agreement is that we need a midfielder.
Yes. Some form of midfield-like substance.
Yeah, because we've had Eric Dier, who has been fine when he's been healthy, largely.
That's generous.
He's been all right. And then, Moussa Dembele is permanently injured and, is either leaving now or leaving at the end of the season. You have Winks and Sissoko and then Oliver Skip and Victor Wanyama, who is permanently injured and also maybe leaving, who knows. So I think you need to do something. But I think one of the other problems that Spurs are up against is we also have a lot of foreign players in the team, and that's an issue for especially Champions League registration. We've had to leave out players like Juan Foyth and other squad players from our Champions League squad because we just don't have enough space for them.
Leave it to Brian to do the anti-immigrant rant.
Yeah, sorry. So what we really need is
to stand up.
we just need English players. We need, players who are trained in England. And so not players like Ben Davies and Eric Dier, who don't count as homegrown or trained in England. So, which is why, links to players like Jared Bowen from Hull or the fullback at Norwich, Max Ahrens, why those things kind of make sense to me. But maybe going back in for Jack Grealish or something like that. But that's the issue that as a team we need to solve. I mean, Pochettino's even talked about, the squad building issues where they need more English players. And so that's something that we should be kind of looking at to focus on. And I just don't know that there's value there in January. I mean, unless you want to sign Aaron Ramsey, but who else are you gonna get in January to kind of come in and be a contributor that's English and also good?
Well, I don't know if our squad limits are as problematic as you're suggesting, because I think Wanyama is dead and by all accounts we're shipping him out. Dembele is off to China in the summer. I don't know how much he has left to give this season. Fernando Llorente has already been linked away. There are places we can cut guys for a new signing, especially given, the number of injuries we have and guys who we have a pretty good idea aren't going to contribute to our Champions League campaign. So, if we were to buy this Sander Berge guy and, not register Wanyama because he's dead, I think that's a totally viable way to go forward. Other than the fact that, won't play a new signing until next year. But in theory, I think it makes sense.
I mean, I just think for the long-term squad building stuff, I think, we need more English players. I mean, we've got three goalkeepers, all of whom are, foreign or count as, foreign-born players, we've talked about how we have a good young English core, but the problem is going forward is we need to make sure that we're able to use all of our other good players that we're able to utilize Lamella and Eriksen and everything. We just need a couple more players that count as homegrown, I think.
Yeah, well, that's how we're going to sign Jack Grealish this summer.
Well, we're going to sign him. This we're just saving it for the transfer window, where he could truly make an impact.
Yep, obviously.
So let's jump back a minute to our departing guys. The real we've talked about Toby plenty. Nothing's really changed there. I mean, Erickson is heated up since we last had a conversation about this. I mean, Brian, is Erickson going to leave us?
I want to say no, just because like I feel like he's our little talismanic midfielder, and he's ours. But if Barcelona want him, or if Real Madrid want him, realistically, he might go. I think that's the only way that he leaves. I don't think he is interested in going to, you know, a PSG or a Manchester United or whatever. But if Barcelona decide that they want him, it's very possible that he goes in the summer.
I mean, is it a bad thing if we sell him? Because yes. Let me rephrase that. Part of the reason Spurs have been able to sort of build success over the last like 15 years under Daniel Levy is we do maximize the value of selling some of these players and reinvest that money. And even if it doesn't pay off immediately, like say with Gareth Bale, it pays off eventually. I mean, would it be the worst thing in the world? Obviously, there's going to be a big Eriksen-sized hole in our midfield. But, you know, if we get, I don't know, we're not going to get 90 million for him. But let's say we get 60 or 70 million for Christian Eriksen and we're, you know, able just to go out and buy Ndombele or something. Is that the worst outcome in the world? That's assuming, I guess, we can go get Ndombele or something.
Yeah, I mean, you guys remember what happened when we sold Gareth Bale. Everybody knew we had money, and so everybody held us to ransom for, you know, top dollar on Nasser Chadli and Vlad Kirikash. Like, you know, so selling Christian Eriksen for 60, 70, 80, 90 million, whatever the number is, just means that Ndombele or Frankie de Jong or Sander Berge or whoever costs 10, 15, 20 million pounds more. That's just the reality of the situation. And to be perfectly honest, I don't necessarily have a lot of faith in Spurs' current setup to identify the right type of replacement for Eriksen.
Our big ticket targeting doesn't seem off. It's just either in our ability to like manage the buy or, you know, I mean, it seems like we have much more problem identifying mid-tier purchases these days.
I mean, the big question is going to be the Pochettino thing is whether or not like he's around to be able to make adjustments to the playing style and whether or not Spurs can then, you know, transition away from a style that utilizes Eriksen so heavily and uses his particular skill set in the way it does. I mean, we can talk about how we have, you know, Lucas Moura and Eric Lamella and those players who could step in and potentially fill that Eriksen-sized hole. But at the end of the day, none of those players are really like for like, even though we all love Eric Lamella. He just can't play the kind of minutes that Christian Eriksen has so consistently over the last couple of years. And I don't know. He is honestly one of the best attacking midfielders in the world, despite what Everton Twitter thinks. And I don't know how we're going to replace him.
Well, I mean, the mistake would be trying to get someone who can do exactly what he does. It's a matter of...
Maybe we should just sign Gylfi Sigurdsson back. Oh, I think, you know, well, that's, I saw on the internet this week that Gylfi Sigurdsson is significantly better than Christian Eriksen, and the internet is always right, I'm led to
kids,
believe.
Crack is bad, kids.
I mean, hey, Isco is... Well, a person.
Is Isco bad again?
You never know. But he's apparently on the outs at Real Madrid. I don't know. I mean, like, there are guys who are out there, you know. I mean, we got Eriksen and, you know, maybe a lucky fashion, but, you know, he was.
I mean, Ajax sold low on him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've hit some jackpot signings before with guys like Dele Alli. Gareth Bale, you know, it's not inconceivable that we can identify someone young who, you know, is maybe a little under the radar, who can do what Erickson did. But yeah, I mean, I think the question is what is a guy we can spend 80 million pounds on to make our team better? And then how do we reshape the squad around that?
I mean, the other thing is we haven't really hit on a young signing since, what, Allie and Dyer? So in the last three seasons.
Fourth?
Yeah, all right, fair enough. But I mean, you know, I don't think he's still at this point a little more potential than actual realized talent. But all right, fair enough. He's been good enough so far. But you know, I just don't know. I just don't have enough faith in our like scouting and analytics setup to believe that they know who or what a good player looks like, other than, oh yeah, Liverpool were linked with them. Let's see if we can maybe sign them.
God, yeah. No, I really hope we sign someone in this window that is exciting. I don't anticipate it. Honestly, I'd be fine if we signed any of these midfielders we're linked with for the summer, because let's get our business done early for once. But
we already missed the Pulisic train, so.
I mean, Spurs, that guy was looking for... I mean, between the fact that Pulisic is a very talented 20-year-old and the fact that he's an American with tons of marketing potential, like, I mean, he was always going to a bigger club. I don't think we missed any train there.
Also, he's not any good anymore, so.
Yeah, well, that too. He's a fraud. But, you know, that's the important thing to remember there. Well, I think it's time to wrap this bad boy up. Next week, we'll be back. I think we're going to bring back our Tottenham History Corner next week, which I'm excited about. And we'll have some other games to talk about. But in the meantime, it's time to wrap it up. Rob, where can people find you on the internets?
You can find me at Reno All About on Twitter and on LinkedIn. I'm Brett Rainbow.
Brian, where can people find you on the inner tubes?
You can also find me on Twitter. It's at Brian_Ashlock, Brian with a Y. And you can find me, what did Rob use? He used LinkedIn, so that makes me Tumblr. At Brett Rainbow.
No, Brett Rainbow is taking down his Tumblr in protest of their new, you know, he cannot provide his content.
Well, it was all pornography, so.
Exactly.
No, that's Brett Rainblow.
Ah!
Different one. Now we're Rainbow, so that's the totally clean, only cat and soccer gifts.
You know, you could do a different type of, you know, Rainblow account, Brian.
Look, listen, let's... I want to steer away from
your job, from your real IRL job.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, Benjamin, where can people find you on the internet?
Don't find me. Don't follow me. Don't look for me. Don't contact me. I'll contact you if we need to talk.
Okay. All right. And wow, you can find me not contacting really Ben on the internet at Skipjack0079 on Twitter, and as always, you can find my pornography account at pornhub.com/BrettRainbow. So for Ben, for Brian, and Rob, and of course for Brett Rainbow, I am your host, Greg. Come on, you Spurs.